right, so we're back. It's Friday morning, and we are getting towards the weekend, I suppose. There's lots of exciting stuff happening there. Ben has already informed us reliably about all the sporting information that we need to take in.
That's what I'm here for.
Ahead of the weekend. Yes, absolutely. And Mash is here. Hello, Mashani.
Hi, Garrett.
How the hell are you?
I am great.
Very good.
It's hot. It's finally spring.
Isn't it nice?
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm about to wear my shortest shorts. It's about damn time.
Well, Ben is actually a massive proponent of men shouldn't wear those long cargo shorts. Ben thinks that's stupid.
Halfway down the
he
thighs,
says,
guys.
You've got to wear short shorts. The shorter your shorts, the more manly you are.
Oh, yeah. If your shorts aren't actually short, you're wasting your time. Mm. What is a short that sits by your knee?
Yeah,
it's a lie.
You're wasting
man. It's a lie.
Everybody's
lie.
Yeah. time.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
Not shorts.
It's a lie.
Mediums.
Yeah. It needs to be as far up your thigh as possible. Closer to your underwear, the better.
It also keeps you honest as a human because then you should have decent enough legs, which means that you are working out, you're active.
Right.
Absolutely. It puts you under pressure. Well, it's not even pressure. You should be active either way.
Yeah, Mash has been extremely unkind about fat people on social media lately.
As we should be.
Because he saw the light.
Yeah.
Well, he used to be little chubs, but now...
Oh, yeah. I was a big boned thing.
Yeah. you're
a big boy.
But now... Now you are one of those people who shames the fat people.
Oh, guys, get it together.
And I actually watched a reel recently, and it said that the people who shame and the people who are most fat phobic are people who used to be fat and lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because they learn that they learn healthy habits and they learn that these things aren't that difficult to accomplish and to maintain. So when you start looking at people who are still big or even looking at yourself, you think to yourself, damn, what the hell was I doing? It's actually so easy.
Right.
So gotta shame them.
we can have that as a cut down and just have the title Former Fat.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah, beautiful. All right, so do you guys know what shrekking is?
Yes.
Shrekking.
I know very well what shrekking is.
Okay. Do you want to explain this to Ben and I?
Okay, gentlemen. So shrekking is when you give someone who is, I'd say, well, low. I'm trying to not make it sound too mean. I don't want to sound like a mean girl.
Ugly. Uglier.
Okay, someone who's ugly.
Yeah.
Someone who's below you.
Yeah, ugly.
Physically, in terms of attraction.
Greta Thunberg.
Yeah.
You give them an opportunity to date you, and then they disappoint you. They treat you horribly. They treat you like you're not attractive. Yeah, basically, that's what shrekking is.
So you treat them nicely.
Yeah.
Even though they're ugly.
Yes.
And then they treat you horribly.
Yeah.
Because they don't know that you're doing them a charity move.
Yes.
You're actually being charitable. You're like, I could be batting at a 10. Instead, I've dropped my number to a 6 for you, Shrek.
Yeah.
That's where the word comes from, obviously, the Shrek being the troll from the animated movies.
Yeah.
So it's someone being nice and then being rejected by that Shrek.
Yes,
the troll.
It is. Yeah.
Hmm. How rude.
It is very rude, and it's actually very common. And one trend that's happening now is because the thing is, us very attractive people lately, Gareth,
go on.
We're just like it's very different, and this is something I always say. I always say two attractive people can't be together. Like two really attractive people. It's very
think
difficult.
One of them has to be ugly.
One person has to be ugly in the relationship. This is my philosophy, and I don't know if this applies to all age ranges and so forth. But in my age group, it definitely does apply. So if we're both pretty, we're both gonna have big egos. We're both gonna be clashing the whole time. It's gonna be a constant competition. One of us has to be on the knees. One of us has to be feel like you're doing me a favor, you know?
Yeah, but I think that's also because it's a guy-guy relationship with you. I don't think that's true for straight couples. Why? Because they're looking for different kinds of attention.
Yeah.
The kind of attention girls want is more like the kind of gay-guy attention.
Absolutely.
You know? Similar energy.
Yeah, and it's about like I'm the prettiest one. I'm wearing the nicest outfit.
Yeah.
I'm getting the attention. People are being especially nice to me, even if I'm not being very nice to them. Mm. Whereas with guys, I don't think it's the same. I don't feel like a guy is really ever competing with his girlfriend on a looks basis.
No, not really competing directly.
But when it's two guys, sure.
Yeah, when it's two guys, definitely it's a competition.
Yeah.
But if it's a guy and a girl, it can sometimes, like, no girl wants a really attractive guy.
No, they
do. You can ask girls.
No, they do.
Which yes, girls?
Do. Don't they?
They do.
Let's see what the comment section
They do, how, okay. However, yeah, it's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, they don't want, if they can have control, again, wrong guy to be having this conversation with confidence, but let's go. If they guarantee the kind of control,
yeah,
then it's a great power move against other women, because we all know women hate women most. They're catty. They want to fight them.
Yeah. No, they're in competition.
Bitchy about that. They're in competition the whole time. Sure. Thanks. That's a better way of saying it.
Yeah.
They're in competition. So
if just being bitches for no reason. They're in competition.
Yeah. So if you have that sort of trophy, it's great.
Okay.
But it's going to be a lot of work.
But that's an interesting situation you pose it. Like, no woman wants a good-looking man just because he's good-looking. There are other factors that are at play, and I think that's a very valid and salient observation. I think a lot of women want a man who is capable, who is useful, who can do things, who is a success in some way, shape, or form. And then if he's good looking, that also helps.
Yes.
But I don't think that's the same for girls. I think if you're a girl and you're good looking, that's primary.
I shouldn't be talking on behalf of women. The last girl I dated, but
I'd be interested to hear what the people in the comments say, whether you agree with that. If a guy's looks only come much further down the list of things that a girl might want, but that the other way around, it's different. Ben, by the way, some rude criticism here from Dussy Nose says, look at what Ben is wearing. No one should be taking fashion advice from him on the shorts.
I don't know what to say. This person, there's no helping this person. it's a fashion fundamental first and foremost. Secondly, what I'm wearing right now is very exclusive.
Yeah, you didn't mention that.
And thirdly,
Ben is flexing the shit out of this.
And thirdly, 151 Catherine Street, if you want to go behind the gym afterwards.
Oh, are you asking for a fight?
I'm tired of this.
Oh, Makunyewe.
Ben's actually going, let's have a fight.
I'm tired of these stupid throwaway comments. Come on, come at me.
Yes. Wow. Threats of actual violence. I like this. This is exciting.
don't come at me with the shorts thing. It's not a debate.
Okay.
It's just not a debate.
Well, Mash and I thankfully agree with you.
Exactly.
Carl de Santos says, I cannot think of anyone below me in looks. So
he's probably right from what he said before.
Carl, there's a difference between self-deprecating humor and genuinely hating yourself. I hope that you're in the former category, not the latter.
Carl's already confirmed he's a short, stubby poorer.
Okay.
Not my words. He's painted this
picture. That's what he said. So I'm seeing a lot of back hair. I'm seeing kind of stubby fingers, you know? Is that it, Carl? Gray says, a woman just needs to be pretty. We don't care about their job or their status. We just want peace and loyalty. A strong, independent woman is of no use to me.
Correct. Peace is a huge thing.
Peace.
I feel like as I've got older, I value my peace so much, I would rather go without things I've had before.
Yeah.
If I have peace, I'm happy.
Okay.
Big deal.
What do you guys think of this? I shared this on Instagram yesterday. I wondered if you might agree with it or disagree with it. Okay. Quite controversial, because, of course, anytime you bring up IQ, people get very touchy.
Yeah,
but I thought you might want to drop in your opinion on that. By the way, Giorgio Armani died yesterday.
Oh, what?
Quite a big deal. I mean, I'm not a fashion expert, not like Ben or you, Mash.
like
you know,
Ben.
But I gotta say, like Giorgio Armani, he was quite a fucking guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
He transformed male fashion, absolutely, made men wear nice suits.
Oh, between him and David Beckham, yeah.
Yeah, taught them how to, but Beckham didn't make the suits. That's the difference. Armani, I think he made them.
Gareth, without a canvas, what does an artist have?
All right, well, fair enough.
I'm actually more shocked that Giorgio Armani was still like an actual alive person.
He was 90-something, so.
What? Yeah. Was he even involved in the brand at all at that point?
Yeah, towards the end. all right, so here's this thing I shared on Instagram.
Yeah.
If the neighborhood is loud, it is full of low IQ people. You can always judge a place by its noise levels.
Absolutely.
Harsh truth. So this is from something called Alpha Advice. So it got a lot of attention online yesterday. I wonder if a neighborhood that's noisy is just full of stupid people. Because stupid people tend to make a lot more noise. I don't know if you've noticed this, but someone who's empty-headed, you know, I always say the loudest drums, the emptiest drums make the most noise.
Absolutely.
Right? So if someone's empty-headed, they make a big noise. It's like, for example, if someone is scared, they make a lot of noise because they want to kind of scare off.
It's very impulsive,
the threat,
reactive,
right?
Behavior.
It's instinctive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know which is the noisiest neighborhood in Johannesburg. I mean, if you go to a place like Hillbrow, it's fucking noisy, right?
Yeah.
If you go to a quiet, chilled suburb, yeah. And what made me think of this is peace that you mentioned earlier. It's like peace is a hard thing to find.
You're absolutely right, Gareth. Everybody in Klerksdorp is extremely intelligent. It's the most quiet place on earth.
Yeah.
Everybody knows this.
No, but you're saying because no one's there.
Will Smuts.
Yeah, but there's something about quiet. It's like you've things have been done, things have been constructed, skills have been learned, chaos has been quietened. As in, like you've harnessed certain things, you've controlled certain things to a point. If everything is chaotic, it means you don't have control of it. Everything's run amok. It's like there's like the family with the five kids in the dungeon. They've harnessed that.
And well, you mean the silence? The silence proves that they've got high IQs. I think that's a very poor example. Carl de Santos has come back with a great description of himself.
Have a picture, Carl.
Yeah, send us a picture, Carl. Mm. Says short, bald, only slightly overweight, no back hair, above average sense of humor, average IQ, top 50% salary, total package. Okay, so no confidence issues. I like it. Let's just have a look here. We've got hormones as such a word. Says Veronica. I don't know where that comes from. Did we say anything about hormones?
I don't know.
Obviously
from?
Very low IQ.
How do you make a hormone?
How do you make a hormone? I don't know. It's all in the motion of the ocean. Johan, okay, wait, hang on. Here we've got Durban Dope says, women want a wallet, number one, protector, number two, and enough personality and looks to get the to get BBY at the braai.
What's BBY? BBY.
Don't know.
Baby.
Don't know. Not sure what that is.
But that is absolutely true. Gareth, also, nobody wants to get jobs anymore. You know that. Have you picked that up?
Okay, so Leanne and I were talking about this earlier, but it's worth bringing up again. So everybody thinks a job is like a punishment these days.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's
demeaning
how people
see almost.
It.
Yeah. It's like, why should I work? This shouldn't be my life. And
yeah. What, for the next 40
what
years.
What have I done wrong that I should have to work?
I can't do this for the next 40 years. That's what people are saying.
Yeah.
So, and these are all my age mates who are saying this.
Why do they think they're better than a job when actually they're lucky to have that job often?
Gareth, it's because of the cost of living. It's just gotten so damn high.
But then you need the job. Be grateful for the job.
I think it's also because the previous generations before us, I mean, we saw our parents being able to buy houses, working at factories, factories. Now we're working corporate jobs, we're senior level people, and we still can't afford to get by.
Yeah, but you know why? Because of the government. I'm telling you that just this week, I recorded a thing yesterday about the eThekwini municipality. Did you hear about what happened there?
No, what happened?
They told everybody in Durban, they owed 40 billion rand in outstanding rates and taxes by the people who live in Durban, right?
Yes.
So they said to them, we'll make a deal. If you pay half of what you owe us now, we'll write the rest off. Oh. They only brought in a billion out of the 40 billion because who has the money lying around to be able to settle their bill with the municipality? If you don't have money, you don't have money. Most of those people are low-income households anyway. And then they found out that the Ingonyama Trust, which the king owns, they are serviced for free. They don't pay a single cent. They don't pay a cent to the municipality. And the municipality has to supply water, electricity, garbage removal, all of that stuff. And they don't pay a cent. The king.
And you know,
it's
also
good to be the king.
I saw something about the king requesting donations or something.
He's always running out of money.
Yeah, that the kingdomship or something will be out of money in a couple of years, and they have to start collecting donations from the Zulu
nation.
Why
don't they start fucking doing what they did in Britain? Open up the palace, have people do tours. I mean, I don't know if they've got anything to show off, because no one wants to see your 15th G-Wagon. But maybe you should give us something to look at, or put on a parade, put on a performance, do some kind of a thing, learn to dance.
Zulu stuff, make the dance is so
entertaining. Make it happen, man.
They should make it happen.
Do the whole dress up in the leopard skins and shit.
Yeah, the
let's,
short
let's have a show.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm on board for that.
Yeah. Stop asking us for a free handout. Yeah. Anyway, this is why people are poor. So, Mash, the government takes so much of your money that you are left with much less to be able to put into a property or to buy the things that you need to be able to afford just a normal lifestyle. I don't know how people are coping. I really don't.
Oh, it is very difficult. And yeah, so now everybody has a side hustle. Everybody has a side something. Everybody and everybody who doesn't have one is trying to have one. That's how bad it has become, just to basically get by. It has gotten absolutely ridiculous out here. So now, I was watching this other show, Pop the Balloon or Find Love. Have you heard of it, Gareth?
No, that sounds great.
Have
sounds
you heard
like
of it,
just
Ben?
The kind
no.
of show for me.
You got
I'm waiting for you to elaborate on this.
Tell us more.
So Pop the Balloon or Find Love, it was originally, it was a concept made by, her name is Arlette Amuli and her husband.
Yeah.
And they're in Atlanta, I believe, in America.
Atlanta. Okay. Yeah, that's good.
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
So on the show, basically, they bring five to six guys or girls. They're all single. And they line them up. Each one is given a balloon. And they're just standing in this white studio. The whole background is just white everywhere. There's nothing else in there. And they're holding red balloons. And then they bring out one single lady, if the panel is guys, or one single guy if the panel is girls.
Right.
And as soon as you walk out, they have to, they're judging you. They're judging every move you make. They're judging everything. And then Arlette comes up to you and starts interviewing you and asking you, like, what's your name? How old are you? What do you do for a living? And if at any point the panel feels like, I'm not into something you did or something you said,
they pop the balloon.
They pop their balloon.
And that person has to fuck off.
Yeah. But, but it gets even more awkward, Gareth, because after popping their balloons, you have to walk up to each person who pops up their who pops their balloon and find out why they pop their balloon.
Oh.
So it is, it gets messy.
Yeah, but people also aren't honest, hey.
Oh, a lot of people actually are.
Oh, they are? They'll say, oh, I don't like your nose or
not
your
everyone,
hair.
But a lot
or
of people will be like, you could have cut your toenails.
Oh.
Like they'll say it straight up like that. So
wow.
It's gotten pretty hectic. It's gotten pretty hectic and very critical as well.
What do you think if they put you up there? What do you think they'd criticize first?
Oh, yo, Gareth, yo, it's very tough, hey? I feel like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
What do you think they'd have to say about
you?
You've
got to have two or three things that would come to mind.
I think.
Okay, so I'll start. People would look at me and think I'm not approachable. Or that I'm not friendly enough. Because people always feel like they should be on show for others. Yeah. I just have got to that stage, probably through age, where I don't feel like I should be on show. I want to converse, but it'll be on like a certain level. Yeah. Not because I'm cunty. It's just that I don't have the energy past that.
Yeah.
And that's
and
what
sometimes
I
sometimes you're cunty.
Maybe. But I would struggle on such a thing because of that. And I know when I meet people, that's something that they feel that about me.
What?
So there's
what, one. What would you? What do you think people get wrong about you? Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
For me, it's similar to Ben that I look mean when I'm quiet, like when I'm quiet and I'm not smiling and
yeah,
all
like
that kind
resting
of stuff.
Bitch face. Type
I have a resting
thing, right?
Bitch face
yeah,
that I know, that. And then yeah, and I think that's about it. I mean, just from looking at me before I open my mouth.
I don't think you look mean.
It's because you already know me, Gareth. Like people who don't know me. Like, even at the gym, I'm just, you know, people always DM me.
Yeah.
And they always go like, I saw you at the gym. I saw you wherever. And I always ask them, why didn't you come up to me? They always go like, no, I was scared.
Yeah, weirdo.
I was scared.
they're the ones in the wrong here. You live in your life. Must you not be conscious of the fact that someone's looking at you? No.
Exactly. If you're looking at me, come to me.
I get people who think they know me. The opposite of your problem, because they maybe have seen me on TV or heard me on the radio for like 23 years. They think they've got the whole picture, right?
Yes.
And then they expect me to live up to that, whatever it is, bad or good.
Yep.
So maybe they think I'm great and they think I'm funny and they want to have a good time and laugh with me and have a drink or whatever. Or they really hate me and they think they know lots about me and what an awful person I am and so opinionated and I'm such a shithead. And I'm bound to disappoint both groups of people, right? So I just go into things and I start from scratch. Even if they think they know something about me, I'm like, hello, I'm Gareth. And they're like, oh, no, you are, which is unnecessary. But yeah, I'm introducing myself from the get-go because then it levels the playing field a little bit. And we don't talk about me.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't make a rule, but I'm like, what do you do? Where are you from? What's your relationship status? Do you have kids? What's your favorite thing to do on a weekend? That kind of shit. So you get into it from the get-go. You don't start with preconceived notions because people always think they know each other and they don't.
You don't.
I mean, you don't even know people that you've been friends with for 2 or 3 years. You don't know. And then you suddenly discover that they've got their kids locked in the basement wiping feces on the walls.
Straight up.
You know? I thought I knew James, but here he is basically on the cusp of being engaged.
And he hasn't told any of us.
Wait, he's got
a dog. And,
oh, have you not heard about this, Mash? It's great news.
No.
Like he's
Yeah, Ben's pushing this narrative quite hard that, that James is engaged.
Damn, everybody's getting engaged. I actually have a friend who's engaged.
You do?
To a guy she met 4 months ago.
Is that enough time?
I do not know. So I was talking to my partner. My partner's like, you know, street people, bruh. Street people just be doing shit. So I thought to myself, oh, maybe that's the thing.
That's
maybe
an unnecessary straight slur.
Slurs on straight people, yeah.
Let's say something disparaging about straights. They're doing shit.
Just by the way, the king, apparently, according to Wendy, the Zulu king wants every Zulu to pay 10 rand a month to support the kingdom.
Yes.
So Flex, you're a Zulu. Are you going to pay? Flex says, hell no.
Yo, he said, ka.
Ah, exactly. We'll ask the other Zulus in the office today. We'll find out who's willing to pay for the king.
No.
You don't have to worry about that because you're not Zulu.
Yeah, thank goodness, hey? Zulu supporting Zulus.
All right. Apparently, Judith says she's watched that show before. Her favorite guy was Brian. He's very hardcore. Don't know who that is, but okay. Ben, today you look totally unapproachable. Cape gangster type look. Yeah, you do actually. That's you look okay. Like yeah, you do look like you're in the 26s or 27, 28s. Here's another comment for Ben. Ben has rugby has plastic shirts these days. Sorry, this is not about you. This is now Saint who says Ben rugby. They make plastic shirts these days, like a tracksuit. I wish we could bring back the proper thick cotton ones. I swear those are cooler.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if your parents have locked you into a dungeon the last 4 or 5 years. But
no, but you did this fashion episode on the Bounce this week, so tell us your thoughts.
Exactly. Rugby fashion has come back, obviously, with old school. They make all those jerseys. If you look, Nike is the official sponsor of the Springboks. Oh. They've got an old school version of that. The big cotton, the comfy, well thing. Yeah, I mean, we actually did it. Obviously, having Maspa Panyani on the show this week, like the guy knows fashion and he knows sports. It's a great guest.
Yeah, he's terrific.
And the thing about rugby stuff is that rugby is a contact sport. So the jerseys and things that you buy for that, they're going to be a bit shit. But yeah, rugby fashion is a big thing. I mean, Gareth Cliff the other day, Mash, he walked into studio here in a rugby jersey. And I said to him, nice rugby jersey. He's like, oh, fuck off. But it was a rugby-themed...
I don't talk like
you
that.
Do.
Nonsense.
It was a rugby-styled garment that he was wearing. It was a very, like, you know, proud collar. It was the cotton... It's a good look.
Yeah.
It is a good look.
It's a good look.
So those are back. Is that what you're
hugely.
Saying?
Hugely.
Weren't soccer jerseys like that as well? Like this thick material as well before?
Not so much the soccer. Soccer's always been a shirt. Rugby's always been a jersey. Because, you know, it's just how it's always been.
Yeah.
The more rough and tumble kind of gents who play the rugby.
Yeah.
But like retro football shirts, like, yeah, watch the On the Bounce of the show on this week. We go full on into this.
Oh, I'm going to check it out.
And a lot of like the new teams now, or the current teams, they have the playing kit.
Yeah.
And then the third kit is like the retro throwback or something that's a bit more jazzy, a bit more artsy.
So we have three kits because it always used to just be home and away.
Home and away is more functional. And then your third kit's like your expression point. Like okay. Arsenal, for example. Flex, I'm pretty sure you can bring up the visual here.
Where's the Arsenal visual?
Arsenal Flex? third kit, which I wore this week. It's a beautiful item of clothing.
Huh.
There's no other way to describe it. The detailing.
I think a lot of guys, when we get to the cupboard, we don't know what the hell to wear. Right? A lot of guys are like, I'm not sure what to wear. And then that is a kind of get out of jail free card for a lot of guys. They're just like, they don't have to think about it. They just.
You never
that's
have
what
to
I'm
think
wear.
About it.
But okay, Ben, that's a terrible picture, though.
Well, Jesus, that's just part
Ben, why is the flash there?
That's monster lighting. You know what you call that? That's monster lighting.
Yeah, that's literally guys, horror movie lighting.
You look like that guy from the Goonies, like Sloth.
Relax. Can you just relax
like
a bit?
Like Beetlejuice.
Can you relax a bit, please?
Okay, that looks
so that's the Arsenal third kit. It is beautiful, right?
It's like an ad for Emirates, actually.
Well, that's the title sponsor. They sponsor many, many football teams.
It looks great.
But what a beautiful shirt. You know, you get that in the right sort of cut. And don't go too tight. Otherwise, it feels like, you know.
Oh, that's interesting. Not too tight.
Yeah, it's something that just hangs nice
like
in the body.
The fit, and it looks so comfortable.
It's just, it's good.
Yeah. Okay, so someone on the neighborhood WhatsApp group, I love this stuff because I don't really get involved, but someone says, dear dog owners, we found this dog shit in my garden at that number of theirs. It is not pleasant at all. Whoever did this knows very well that it is right, yet it was left uncleaned. I hope I am complaining for the last time. So, these people are they cross. This is what they do.
It's key that they refer to it as dog shit.
Dog shit.
Don't try to be nice
and
say
picture
excrement.
Of the dog shit.
Yeah. Your dog took a shit.
It's good, and this is what 8 o'clock in the morning.
It's as fresh as the dog shit. That message. That message is steaming like the turd.
This person is not happy. What a cuck way to start your Friday, literally, right?
That is crazy.
Okay. By the way, I did do that interview with a car guard about how do I get the video to you? Okay, you can do that easily because we do want, I know Bitcoin Bits planning to do some of these as well. You can send us the video. James, give them your email address. Just put it in the description, right? Okay, very good. And then you can just email him all kinds of shit.
And also, if you're a Machosha, email James as well.
If you're a Machosha, we're still waiting.
Mostly because the window for you is closing with him, but otherwise.
All right. So Carl reckons 4 months for that friend of yours who's getting engaged is not enough time.
Right.
That couple will be divorced in less than 2 years.
Okay, guys.
And they're 26, yeah?
That was my next question. How old are they?
They're 26.
Because if they're 50, terminal cancer maybe.
Yeah. Ah, then it's fine.
Browning around the edges.
Yeah, browning.
What are you waiting for? But 26, you got lots of time. Right.
That's what I said
but now,
as well.
In that 4 months, okay, I'm sure you might not have the answers, but have they traveled somewhere? Have they got horribly drunk with each other? Have they gone somewhere that's not been so nice and they've had to show their true characters?
Yes.
None that I know of. They've traveled once together, but it was like a weekend away. You know those weekend away in the cabin in the woods?
Oh, that's not. No, you need to go international destination where your flight's delayed.
Yeah.
Shit's super expensive. Yes. And you got to like try to like maybe not be romantic for a couple of days. Mm-hmm.
That'll show you how patient they are. And,
like, and also, how they deal with poverty.
Have one of you had diarrhea around another?
Oh.
Absolutely,
shit, do you want that? I mean, do you ever really need to know
that
much?
Part of our handbook coming out next year.
They've really moved in together. It's just, for me, mentally, it's like, whoa, this is
4 months. That's quite tight.
I thought it's normal.
I think there are people who just know.
Yeah.
They just know that this, and I'm not talking about love and butterflies in the stomach.
Yeah.
I'm talking about people who... They sit down for the first time and they have a conversation about something important like values, right? They just immediately click. They're like, okay, we don't have to bullshit each other.
Yeah.
I find you attractive, et cetera. Let's move straight on to the important stuff.
I like it.
What do you care about?
I think being decisive is a great human trait.
Yeah. It is.
I wouldn't say it's a red flag, but there's a couple of experiences that you need to kind of throw yourself into to be sure. But also, you're never sure because people change no matter what. You can be the most fundamentally sound person.
Yeah.
You know you're going to be in 5 years, but have those fundamentals back yourself.
And that is my biggest thing is that I am now 28. Well, I'm turning 28 this month. And 2 years ago, I was...
So old, Mash.
Oh, you.
He says with crippling anxiety.
But 2 years ago, I was 26. And looking back 2 years ago, I think to myself, I was a completely different person.
Uh-huh.
Both physically and mentally, I was completely different. And... just that alone, I think to myself, damn, these people are 26. In 2 years' time, they'll be different people as well. Yeah, I'm sure they haven't found themselves yet.
I've noticed with friends of mine, they're in a relationship and they're a totally different person to how they are when they're with their friends. Oh, look, there's James's email address. You can feel free to spam him with all kinds of shit as well. Sign him up for subscriptions. Oh,
yeah. So just a word of warning. He will not respond to you.
Mm.
James, he's allergic to responding to emails for some reason. I don't know what it is. I don't know if his fingers go into spasm.
Yeah, what's it? What's that all about, James?
So he not. We had
a conversation about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shitty excuse. All right. I think that there are people who, to go back to our conversation before we got waylaid by James's email address, who they just know that that's the person they want to be with, and they find a way to make it work, and they cut through the crap, and they talk about important stuff.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, awesome. If you can leapfrog to the meaningful, the substantial content, that's great. I don't think everybody can. I think most people are just terrified of being alone.
Yeah,
and they want to be with somebody, and they will.
But it's also still they terrified will drop of their committing. Standards.
Oh yeah, but they're terrified of everything. Basically, they're like those people Leanne and I were talking about earlier. They've been told that the world is terrifying and unpredictable, and nothing can happen without you being extra cautious, and you must be safe and secure. Don't live an adventure. Don't take a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, frankly, if you do decide you want to get married to somebody and you get engaged to them after 4 months, and then you're with them, let's say you stay engaged for a year, that counts as like a testing period. That's a very nice long testing period. And then you can decide to get married after that. And if you get divorced, so fucking what? Start again with someone new.
And that's okay. It really 100%. Is. It's exactly what Dr. Nakano was saying. It's like the movie thing. Don't make your life dramatic for the sake of it.
Yeah.
But make it worth watching. So if you meet someone and go, yeah, oh, they're nice and stuff, but like, I don't know, I'm still 26. Yeah. I haven't done anal. Like, people have strange like milestones that they want to just actually, you can embrace it. It's like, you know. Yeah. Sometimes it is actually fine. I feel like the more we chat about this, the more on board I am with people wanting to take these sort of things.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
There is a YouTube channel dedicated to a guy who returns his neighbor's dog shit in the most creative ways possible, says V-Rus. I only know of one where you put it in the brown paper bag and you light the paper bag and you put it on their doorstep and then they come outside and they try to put it out and they get dog shit on their feet. That's the only one I know that's creative. What other ways are there?
I reckon,
be fascinated to know. I'd follow this YouTube channel.
I reckon put it on the person's windscreen.
Ooh.
Because it's like very much, it's in their eye line, okay? They're going to get in the car and they go, oh. They're going to touch the poo.
Like smear it.
And because it's on the windscreen, they've got to put their hand up. They've got to physically use that. They can't scoop that off the windscreen because the intricacy of the wiper. And
what do you do? Do you let it dry? What if you have to drive? You can't leave it there. You can't smush it all over. Imagine you turn on the windscreen wipers and you get like a...
It's just smushing it all over the place.
Oh, it's a bad one.
Guys, I mean, look, where I live in my apartment, there's, I think, three dogs.
Mm?
Like one dog's okay. One dog barks like, it's fucking annoying.
Yeah.
It's so I want to shoot this dog in the head. I like animals, but this dog it's the high pitched and it gets let out to run around and bark indiscriminately. So this person whose dog shat in your place, Gareth, where you live,
well, not me, but
the owner has just let the dog out to do what it needs to do. It hasn't escorted the dog.
No,
if you live in a place that's built up, you must always be with your dog.
And if your dog shits, you got to pick it up
straight away. Mm. If your dog's barking like that, go. That's not very nice.
Right.
Rather bark in my house where it's just my ears that will now bleed.
Absolutely.
If your dog is out in the streets, it has to be on a leash.
I think that's good too, because otherwise it runs around. That's
if it's on a leash, it means you have sight of everything it's doing. If it's taking a shit, you have sight over it and you can pick that up and keep it moving. You need to be looking after your dog.
Veronica wants to take issue with you, Ben. She says, getting drunk is not showing your true character. True character comes after not drinking alcohol at all.
Absolutely.
Veronica, how do you get down to someone's base abilities? Alcohol is nature's truth serum.
Yeah, it is.
So I could not drink for 6 months and be with someone. They'll never understand what me on like 8 brandies is really like. And I'm not saying I'm a different person, but you should also experience the 8 brandies me. I'm very friendly. I'm very chatty.
You're not.
So
this doesn't mean you need to marry an alcoholic, Veronica. No.
Yeah.
You know?
But
it just means that it helps you to know what that person's like under extenuating circumstances.
And that's the thing, because we all have these inhibitions that they get built up for good and for bad, but they exist. So you've got to see what someone is underneath that. We're all very layered. We're all very layered.
Some people are very layered.
If you're only one layer, then sure.
Some people are only one layer, trust me. All right, I want to show you just quickly. This chick is she's a South African. No, she's not a South African girl. She's an English girl. She's dating a South African guy. And there's stuff that we do as South Africans we're not even aware of. And she's very cool. She's like hit the nail on the head about the way South Africans talk and the things we do and the kinds of South Africanisms that we're not even aware of, right? So take a look at this. Have you got that video of that girl?
We are quite feral, though.
She's also on Instagram. I'm now following her because I think she's able to observe South Africans very well.
I think in a global context, SA men are absolute catchers.
You reckon?
Yeah, we're quite durable.
You think so?
I think we've got decent enough. Mm. Yeah.
If you're a girl in Belgium, you'd want a South African dude.
Yeah.
Over a Belgian guy, I would go all day. Make it rain.
South African men and women.
Make it rain in RSA.
We're quality people. Okay, now that we've burnished our reputation for the rest of the world, let's take a look at what she says, because she said a couple of things that are not necessarily great. We should improve ourselves, but take a look at this.
I have been dating a South African for nearly 4 years. And before moving here, I lived in an area in London called Putney. And if you know anything about Putney, you will know that I was pretty much exclusively only mixing with people from South Africa before moving here. My weekends were filled with burry rolls, fries, and Mrs. Ball's chutney. I'm not going to sit here and patronize people and teach them about shame or the concept of now, because I feel like we're past that. What I want to talk to you about today are a couple of other things which are grammatically incorrect. They do not make sense, but South Africans say them. When my boyfriend and I first started dating, there were a couple of things that he would say to me, quite a lot of things that he would say to me, and I would think, oh, like sweet and unique and individual. No, just South African. One thing that he does say, actually, jeepers. Who the fuck says jeepers other than Velma from Scooby-Doo? South Africans say jeepers all the time. Jeepers, bro. Okay, so the things that I wanted to talk to you about today, the first one is the fact that South Africans don't say we're, as in we are, they say we. Same with there, it's they. And same with your, it's you. If you were to say, like, you coming over tonight. It doesn't make sense, but that's what they say, that's what they all say. And then another one that also doesn't make sense and actually caused an argument between myself and my boyfriend in the early stages of us dating. I think he said something along the lines of, are you gonna unload the dishwasher or must I? Must I? Do you know how passive aggressive that comes across? I was like, geez, okay, gosh. I guess I'll do it then. He's actually saying, like, do you need me to do it? Shall I do it? But he doesn't say, shall I, or do you want me to? Must I? Must I? You don't have to. Nobody's forcing you to do anything. So I guess all of this in context would sound something like, ya no shame, but they're coming over for a braai later, so must I start the fire now? Now.
I love her. She's great. So must I? Shall I unpack the dishwasher, or will you unpack the dishwasher, or must I? We don't even realize we do stuff like that.
She said that, I was like, "Where's the issue?"
Yeah, you were like, "There's nothing wrong with that."
There's nothing wrong with that.
The bigger issue is, why hasn't she done it yet?
Yeah.
Oh, Ben, we're wondering why you're single. All right. So most people suffer their childhood trauma and use that as an excuse to be shitty, says Bronwyn.
Probably about right. Is that the same Bronwyn doesn't want to drink?
Yeah, that was Veronica.
Veronica, sorry.
Chris says, a dog cannot shit while it's barking. It can't build the compression. Did you know that? So a dog can't shit and bark at the same time.
Shit and bark.
Because it'll explode.
That makes sense.
The dog will completely explode.
Same way we can't shit and talk.
Can't we?
No, we can.
Have you ever tried to and talk at the same time?
Well, I might not be my most eloquent.
Fascinating. Has anyone done experiments,
Sarah? I'm going to try this
James,
today.
Do a quick Google search. Flex, you could do it. You're faster than James. See if... Can humans shit and talk at the same time?
I think the cadence of your discussion would change slightly.
I have lots of calls on the loo. You can't. I've done a lot of calls on the loo. Research.
You do calls on the loo.
Why?
Because sometimes someone's just trying to get a hold of you, and you keep declining, and send them to voicemail.
And you think, now's the right time. Well, I'm on the shitter. Let's go.
Or sometimes I answer the phone just to say, I'll call you back. But then the person just gets into it and the gossip is so hot, Gareth. I can't.
But you can hear the echoing of the bathroom, right? So they know they're talking to you on the shitter.
The gossip is so hot as you just drop your trousers.
Like, what gossip's so hot that you could push out of turd at the same time as you're busy listening to this stuff?
Yeah, there's some hot-ass gossip out the bin. So it's just sometimes it's just hot.
What does Google say? What does ChatGPT say?
Google says humans can typically talk and pass gas.
Not pass gas.
Not talk and pass gas.
All right.
Exactly. The act of holding one's breath can disrupt the process of defecation.
Yeah. Okay. No, it all makes sense, guys. It all makes sense.
Yeah, it's difficult to relax that muscle, the pelvic floor muscle, when you're talking. So you have to stop talking and then get back to it. So, talking while doing may also trigger an
accidental release of poo. Oh, that would be unfortunate. What about dogs? Can dogs bark and shit at the same
Definitely
time?
Definitely not.
I just think that
dogs, they can't either.
Dogs put so much effort into pushing one out.
They really do.
Yeah.
The tail goes all... Yeah, yeah. They really work hard at it.
It's a different stance they take.
Yeah.
The facial expression changes completely.
Oh, they do. They go... They get that... You know, because they're very vulnerable at that moment.
They're at the most vulnerable.
Also because, like, I think they push a harder stool.
Yeah.
Mostly because of their diets.
True.
Quite
true
probably. All that sawdust that they put in so-called dog food.
It's fucking pig food. All
right, what does it say about dogs?
They can. I disagree. I don't think so.
I think
show me a barking, shitting dog. Otherwise, I don't care.
Show me a talking, shitting human as well while you're at it. Because
we should open up two bars. One called the barking, shitting dog. The other one, the talking, shitting human, and see which is more popular. Vyasan wants to know a very personal question. Do you hold the phone with the same hand that you wipe, Mash?
I use the left hand to hold the phone, and I do make sure that if I accidentally I always mute and then unmute so people can't hear.
Ah, thoughtful of you. Okay, well, I'll be sure not to call you ever.
Ever.
I'll just drop your voice note and you can get back to me when it suits you. I don't want to disturb your toilet habits.
Don't worry, Gareth. I'll respond to your voice note with a voice note immediately.
Even if it's hot gossip. hot ass gossip. What did you call it? Hot ass.
Hot ass
gossip. Chris says you can shit and talk simultaneously, but you need to use your diaphragm. That's true. If you have diarrhea, I don't think talking will be a problem, says Vyasan.
Exactly, because you don't need the same sort of force.
Yeah, you just it just kind of you just have a go.
Which goes back to my point about dogs having firmer stools.
I've noticed something while we're talking about lavatorial stuff, which always seems to come up on the show. Have you ever noticed that when you are thinking about taking a shit, it
happens.
You need to make it happen.
Oh yeah.
Like, you can't think about it and then not see it through.
Oh, you have to see it through.
Right?
Yeah.
And when you start getting closer to the lavatory in question,
it gets worse.
It builds up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for everything. You start to salivate before eating.
Once you start getting to your comfort, I think I picked this up while I was young. Once you start getting to a place where you feel most comfortable, your muscles start to relax. It's a subconscious thing. You don't even think about it.
Yes.
Your pelvic muscles, they just start to relax because they're like, well, he's home now. Time to pee.
Someone asked now, Chris said, what about shitting and sneezing? Can you do those at the same time?
Wow.
That would be dangerous, right?
You can.
You can shit and sneeze at the same
very
time.
Very quick. You're just in and out of the toilet.
I don't think I've ever sneezed while I was taking a shit. I wonder what would happen. Could be quite dangerous.
No, it's very quick. You fart very quickly.
What would happen?
That's as long as you mute
see,
the
we
mic.
Get into all the interesting questions this morning.
Yeah.
Smoke weed and drink coffee 3 times a day, says Bitcoin Boot. I assume that means you'll have a more pleasant toileting experience. I'm not sure. Have you ever coughed or sneezed while shitting? It's hilarious, says Marco. Well, again.
Yeah, I guess it would just, it's like an eject switch.
Yeah, it's quick.
Well, it's like a full, every all orifices on
like you're
high
taking
alert,
a screenshot.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a screenshot. You're taking a screenshot of your life at that moment. If you sneeze and shit at the same time, it goes
yeah.
And you've got a picture of your life right there.
Get in the latest hot goth.
Okay, I got something to show you here. Yeah. This is a fascinating look at a person who, she's at an argument with, so there's a black guy arguing, I think he's a conservative, and this girl comes up and she's obviously got some kind of disability. I don't know what it is. But she tries to argue with him. And I just saw this and thought, this is how all arguments with left-wing people have been for me all my life. This is how it goes. I feel like the guy who's sitting down trying to answer this girl. This is what it looks like in my experience.
Why are you talking shit about our women's basketball team? Because you don't know how to play basketball.
That's your argument?
And why are you talking shit about women with people with disabilities? Because both people with disabilities have sports with issues. So why are you talking shit about that? So what's
okay, so what's your main grievance? Is it about women's sports and basketball or disabilities?
Both.
Okay, well, for the basketball thing,
Wait, let me finish talking. Okay. So what about you? What about you? What's your disability? Do you have any disabilities?
I have a high tolerance for stupid people talking to me.
That's not a disability, sir, because you're racist. Thank you very much.
That was a good one. Ask a bunch of questions and walk away. Makes sense. Perfect.
Clearly has autism.
No, I think she's just fucking irritating. I mean, you know, that whole thing of, excuse me, I haven't finished talking. When you pull that card out, that let me finish stuff, it's usually because you're talking shit, you've bored everyone to death.
Yeah.
No one wants to hear from you anymore. If you are a person who says, let me finish, your time has run out.
Certainly.
Nobody ever says that to someone who's
interesting.
Like if you're actually saying useful, sensible, valuable, current, relevant stuff, no one will ever say, okay, I need you to wrap up. They're interested. They're engrossed. They're listening. They're paying attention. If you need to say to someone, let me finish, it's because the drawbridge has already gone up. They're not interested in anything else you have to say. You've bored them to death. You make no sense. And it's over. You need to quit and leave. But I don't know what's going on with that girl. I mean, there's something. She calls it basketball.
I think it's autism.
You think it's autism?
Because there's too much going on.
There's a lot going on. She speaks very fast.
Yeah.
Guys, I think we must stop. I know it's not good for entertainment, but we must stop indulging these people.
You mean not giving them any attention at all?
Zero. I mean, it's not interesting anymore.
Yeah, I just...
I know you love the stuff, Gareth, but I don't... A part of me is like, I know that person's retarded. I don't need to be confirmed that person's retarded.
Yeah.
And I don't need... Other retarded people now think that they're a thing. It's like, that woman's got issues. She's stupid.
You mean like the girl who with the purple stuff in the shop? But we shouldn't pay attention to these people.
I mean, but that's just like cheap comedy. She's saying purple the whole time. I mean, cool.
Purple.
But it's like, there's just good people, there's bad people, and there's people that people just don't ever need to see in life.
You didn't think it was mildly entertaining that she called the black guy a racist?
No, it's like
Myron, out of nowhere.
And I know that guy Myron, the guy on the videos from a podcast called Fresh and Fit. He's a piece of crap.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, so she doesn't like him,
so
and she knew
actually
that.
Her reaction.
So you're on her side.
I would be like her if I wasn't.
So you'd also be like, and you're racist.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That would be you, Bash.
Yeah.
You can't even play basketball, and you don't even know anything about basketball, and you're racist. So, and then as you walk away, you got to do that.
Yeah, he's legit a horrible person.
Guys, I take it all back. It's just not for me. Go ahead.
All right.
Fucking love it if you want it.
Well, how about...
It's just so done.
How about this then, Ben? I have something that is for you. This is very, very exciting. I have a video of... James, won't you play that one that I sent you of the guy who's arguing with the other guy? This is entertaining. Because he's you know Patrick Bet-David? The dude who does the podcast?
Yes.
Right, okay. So he is sitting with this dude who comes from a working class town, and he says he's handed in his job application at 400 and something places and he's just never got a job. And so Patrick Bet-David offers him a job right there and then. And you must see how this guy doesn't realize he is the architect of his own failure.
Yes.
Like he doesn't understand because he's got such a victim mentality that he doesn't know he's just been given an opportunity and he's pissed it away.
But that's the identity thing, right? It's become his identity now.
So watch this. That's exactly right. Take a look at this.
I have put in 477 applications over the last 2.5 years. Not even gotten a call back once.
Why do you think?
I do not have a degree. I live in an area where the physical job market is very limiting.
Does your family live there? Mom, dad, everybody's in that same city?
Everybody was at one point.
Okay.
Most of them are dead now.
Sorry to hear.
Nah, it is what it is. It's poverty. We're kind of used to that on this side.
Why do you feel like you're a victim? The way you speak?
Because I exist.
What do you have on your resume? What do you offer?
Transportation expertise, logistics expertise.
How about I interview and I give you a job? And let's see what you do 90 days later.
Okay, I'll look up your company and all that kind of stuff.
But watch what you just did. You just said you applied to 477 companies who's not gone back to you.
Yeah.
A business owner just made an offer to you.
Mm-hmm.
You became selected.
But
if I
point.
Gave you a job, period, and I paid you a reasonable wage.
Are we talking a livable wage or a reasonable wage?
What do
and
you make
whose
right
version
now?
Of reasonable are we
what
talking about?
Right
your
now?
Version of reasonable or my version of
but
reasonable?
But you're trying to get a job and you're being selected. It's going to work against
I mean,
you.
I'm
my
more
offer's
more.
Off the table
okay,
because
that's
you're going to be difficult to work with.
The last thing he says there is, my offer is now off the table because you're going to be difficult to work with.
He doesn't want a job.
No, he doesn't. But I love
sympathy.
That last line. It's like, okay, when it all comes down to it, you look at this guy and you're like, you're going to be too difficult to work with.
Yeah.
I actually changed my mind. I'm not offering you a job. Mm. And I wonder how many people go into job interviews going, how much are you going to pay me? What it's worth.
Yeah.
To go back to your point earlier that people don't want to work.
They don't.
They don't want jobs.
Yeah.
They go into the interview imagining that the interviewer is going to select them because they're so wonderful, as opposed to they're going to try and impress the interviewer and offer the best version of themselves for the job that they would really like to do. Mm. It's a twisted and perverse way of looking at it.
Everybody nowadays has this main character syndrome. We're all these main characters.
Right.
Even on social media, they're main characters. You see people talking
such
about
a good way
whatever,
of putting it up.
Whatever they're going through. You know, Gareth, there's two things I can't stand. And relating to this guy as well, on social media in particular, and that is people who, number one, see themselves as some sort of main character, meaning that they think they're more interesting than they actually are.
Right.
And secondly is... Sorry.
We're all coughing this morning. Did you? You said you got what?
I feel like I've just had a bit of flu the last 2 days.
Okay.
That's why I'm so nasally.
Right. go on, Mash. Let's
but
go.
I'm maintaining pretty well compared to you two.
So you said either main character syndrome or?
Yeah, people who have main character syndrome or people who just have no drive.
No ambition,
They have no ambition, but they're so good at masking it. That's the thing. They're very good at masking it. So even on social media, you see people talking about themselves. It's all about themselves. But the information they're putting out there is not relevant information. What is anyone supposed to do with some of the information you're sharing with us?
Sure.
What are we supposed to do with some of it? Same with interviews as well. People are such little main characters and they just want to be the superstar.
Well, they also start telling you a whole lot of shit that's not relevant to the
job.
That's
exactly what I'm
saying.
Like
they'll start telling you, for example, about their mom who died 2 years ago. And like... Your new boss, your erstwhile new boss, the person that you're applying to the job for, does not want to hear how emotionally drained you are from 2 years ago when your mom died. It's
my
not going to
died,
help.
Then my father died. Then my sister died.
Yeah.
Then
and then
it's
I had an
months,
abortion.
It's like, you know,
then
those LinkedIn posts.
I ran out of money in September. Like, no one cares.
My mother died. Then my father died. Then my sister
because
died.
It's because of it. It's entitlement is the thing that pours fire over all of that. They feel entitled to say so. You're entitled to nothing.
Absolutely.
You're entitled to be on time.
Yeah.
No, you're like, it's just, it's the entitlement around all these things. It's like, well, I'm here now, so that's good enough. No, no, you need to be better all the time.
Yeah.
Because there's other people out there who aren't going to be as shit as you. And when that day comes, you're going to be like, oh, how did this happen? It's like, that person's not entitled or difficult to work with. So right, I'm going to work with them. Shocker. Mm.
And this also goes down to what we've discussed a couple of times on the show. It's like, don't get in people's way. Be as useful as you can.
Absolutely.
And as quiet and non-friction yeah. as you can possibly be. Right? You want the least friction.
Yeah. Be the easy guy to work with.
That's exactly right. Like, yeah. I must go past Mash's desk every day and go, he's on top of shit. He doesn't bring me trouble. Yeah. He gets his stuff done. It's always on time. I don't have to worry. I'm not concerned. Mash does not add trouble to my day.
Yeah.
Right? Those are the people you want to be around.
Yeah. Add value, not trouble.
There we go.
Absolutely.
That's our theme for the day. Mm. So here, a couple of things. I just love appearing to listen to that kind of person and never show that I need to answer them. The results are interesting. So Chris is saying if he were around that guy who was in the job interview, he would listen to that kind of person but never show that he needs to answer them. So he just kind of lets them talk themselves to a standstill.
Oh, let them go.
Yeah.
Let them go off.
You kind of see where it ends.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, I mean, he was going down some very strange rabbit hole of Patrick asked him, where most of your family live in that town? He's like, yeah, but most of them are dead. And then Patrick said, I'm sorry. And he went, oh, well, it's what we do. It's poverty.
What does poverty have to do with people
like
dying?
A bunch did of they die of hunger? Right? Yeah, I mean, like, did they die of hunger? Like in a Victorian workhouse, Oliver Twist style?
Yeah.
Well, they were probably obese, poor diets and stuff. But it's just, yeah, it's a very chilling clip to see how some people are just fucked.
Yeah.
They can't be helped. No matter what, they are just fucked.
477 job applications he said he'd given in.
How bad is he at job applications?
How bad must he be as a candidate?
He's a horrible candidate.
Terrible.
We just saw that he's a horrible candidate.
Does he not make an effort to go see people face to face, or are you just sitting on his ass just mailing?
I think he just sits there and presses send. And you know, the other thing is, I don't know if you guys have ever had a CV or if you update it.
We use AI now, he.
Yeah, but do you have a CV?
Yeah.
Because I have never, ever had a CV. I don't actually know how to put it together.
Your value proposition is more obvious.
You've never needed
it. No, I know, but I'm not saying that that's normal.
Yeah.
But how often do you update yours?
At least every 3 months.
Really?
Yeah. Every 3 months. I use AI now.
Okay.
There's a platform that I pay for. I can plug it. I don't mind. It's called resume.io.
Yeah.
There's AI built in. It updates your CV for you. Does everything.
So and everything you do, it adds that on.
It adds everything
courses
on. Yeah.
Or experience.
Any courses,
or
upload the certificate,
new
it adds
skills.
It. Yeah, and okay. If you're applying for jobs, I'm not saying I am, but if you are, then what it does is you can just copy and paste the link to that job post, and it'll read that page. And it'll adjust your CV.
Oh, nice. So, to that so you can't trust the CV ever anymore.
Have you heard of that thing called LinkedIn?
Oh, it's useless.
LinkedIn is the cuckest of
who
all.
Who has gotten a job on LinkedIn? Please let us know.
People do, hey?
I know people do.
And people advertise on LinkedIn.
Guys, I'm not an advocate for LinkedIn. I think it's terribly boring.
I don't
need it, but I know it's there. I don't understand why you would have a resume or a CV because LinkedIn is... You'd be verified because...
Yeah, and whatever job you're doing
it's
the latest.
It's like, where do you work? Oh, here's the link for the place. You can then message
someone. Are you on LinkedIn, Ben?
Yeah, of course. I'm on all these things.
Okay, but you hate it.
I'm active.
Bullshit.
I don't need it. I don't use it, really.
No.
But I don't see... I don't understand why anybody would not be just on there as a primary. If I'm looking to hire somebody, everyone lies on their fucking resumes. Now you've got apps and stuff that'll finesse you. No, I want to see proof. I want to see the business you work for. Are they not on LinkedIn? Why?
Yeah. I work for the this and this consultancy. You look them up and they don't exist.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no peer articles
review,
or anything like that.
Yo.
Resumes seem like the biggest waste of time. It's like lying to a girl in a bar.
It is. And also, I think, Mash, the CV, the resume, is such a fluffed up... It's kind of made, you even said you paste the link for the job you're looking for, and then it redoes it so that it looks like a great version. I know people who hire all the time, and very few of them even look at the CV. The CV is like a way in the door. They want to know you're not a complete ignoramus, like you haven't been living on the street for 3 years and you've got a major crack habit and, you know, you've got dribble bum every third day because you eat fucking handfuls of pure sugar. No, that's all you want to know from the CV. Yeah. You just want to check that they are they're able to put one foot in front of the other. Everything else is down to the interview.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And also, if no one follows you on LinkedIn, if you don't have any audience, then you also, again, like I'm not a LinkedIn advocate. It's just that it makes so much sense. Like, you get people who endorse you. You have people that you obviously worked with, so then there'll be connections of yours. Yeah. Like, a CV doesn't show your network.
No.
Like, unless you're a forklift driver with good eyesight, you need some network.
Absolutely.
Unless you do. In fact, your network is usually the way that you develop wealth. It's like who you know, not what you know.
It's
right?
Like your skills or insights or expertise or whatever can attract others.
Yeah.
So therefore you have value. If you have none of that. Yeah.
So Woody says he's got a friend who works for a German company that actually manages people's accounts on LinkedIn. So this company updates it for you, puts content on, makes it look like you're in charge, you've got shit going down, you're writing articles, all kinds of things. This company does that for you, but it's all fake. You're paying them a retainer to keep you relevant, essentially. I mean, it's clever.
Are there people out there who actually sit and go, oh, let me go on LinkedIn. Let me see the latest on LinkedIn. Sure. Ooh, let's see. Ooh, mama. Ooh, have I got a job? Ooh, girls just started a new job.
Yeah.
Ben just finished 10 years.
So do people actually do that?
Oh, let me congratulate Ben on his work anniversary.
You know, some people are absolutely defined by their jobs, right?
Oh, yeah.
So therefore, LinkedIn is like the thing.
It's like their
I want to congratulate you on the paper you handed in last Thursday.
Yeah. I don't think every responded to it. I don't think I've ever responded to a DM on LinkedIn because horseshit. Oh, congrats on your work anniversary that you didn't post. This thing's been automated. It's like, I didn't even know it happened. If it's like it's your birthday, I really hope you have a really prosperous year. I really like what you're doing. No, you don't. You just like this is automated. You just click the thing.
Everything's
to say
automated.
That.
It does. It even gives you a yes, thank you, or a no.
Yeah,
or whatever.
It's all automated response and checkpoints.
You know what I'm very scared of is LinkedIn launching their own AI. All companies now have their own form of AI, and it's only a matter of time before LinkedIn does. Because think about it: Facebook, Instagram.
Why would you be specially scared of LinkedIn's AI?
Because LinkedIn's AI will be the worst. It'll be the worst thing to ever
grace this
planet.
It's already the worst site, right? Yeah, it's
because
the worst app.
AI has taken over social media. AI has taken over, pretty much everything. If you look at the internet now, I actually watched a video the other day and someone said, we've now gotten to a point where AI is building the websites, AI is building the apps, AI is engaging with those apps, and it's just AI talking to AI. It's building this stuff and it's talking to itself. Because think about it, all these bots are going on these websites.
Well, Homotso says LinkedIn is like Facebook. It's for a certain age group. I just think, I agree with Ben, it's like so boring. I don't think it's an age group thing. Facebook is an age group thing.
Yeah. The purpose of it.
And I do believe people check out your LinkedIn if they're going to hire you.
Facebook's a familiarity thing. So certain people who, that was their first social media, they'll be familiar and loyal to because it's like their formative social media days.
Right.
Yeah.
But LinkedIn is just it's a function thing.
Yeah.
Bronwyn says, I'm currently in the job market and I've been relying somewhat on LinkedIn. Very grateful for the feedback. I can redirect that to focus elsewhere now. I would say you should be on everybody who's in the workforce needs to be on LinkedIn.
You have to be
because, as Ben said, it's like a way to verify that the people actually exist, that they have a network, that they're not some kind of schmuck.
Yeah.
You know, he's making everything up. And because you can't really like lie on LinkedIn. I mean, you can polish things up or pretend they didn't happen.
But you can't just lie and say I worked here.
No, and I mean, I think of important people in business that I might need to get hold of. The number one stop is LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
Usually that's where you go first, right? Yeah. So it has its uses. Yeah. It's just not very interesting.
It is kind of verifiable. Because I know, for example, I manage our company's LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And every time someone's hired, as soon as someone sets their occupation to I work at this company, I get notified.
Oh, wow.
I get notified that, okay, this person says they work there. And then I can like
report it. And if they get fired, do you remove them?
Unfortunately, it doesn't let you remove them. They have to remove themselves.
Oh,
but
shit.
But you can report that this person no longer works here. Then LinkedIn will, they'll follow.
What a pain. I thought that if you fired someone,
you can't remove them. So if you fire someone, what? They can have, they so can say they work at your company for a whole year.
No.
Yeah. And we fired a couple of people and
and they won't and leave I'd on keep, LinkedIn.
On LinkedIn, some of them LinkedIn still work squatters. There. Some of them are still our colleagues and they left over a year ago and they're still our colleagues.
LinkedIn squatters.
Yeah. I can't remove them. I can't remove them.
Yeah, but you can shitpost on their wall, can't you?
You get those kids that were locked in that basement, they'll help you shitpost on the wall.
Yo.
That's what they're good at. I offered a guy at the traffic lights a job, says Chris, and he asked me what I would pay him. When I told him, he laughed at me and said he could earn more than that between 6 and 9 and 4 and 7 in the evening begging.
Wow.
You see?
So, again.
Nobody needs a job anymore.
Did you see the episode, Mapelo says, where there was a girl who was claiming to be mentally ill? So this guy offered her to go and see two specialists for her illness. Only if she agreed to see a psychologist that he chose for her, she declined.
Yep. That sounds, that checks out.
That's about right. People don't actually want help. They want attention.
They want to be indulged.
All right. And then this is an interesting point from Mooshroom. Gareth, you should draw up a CV. I assisted an old chap with his memoirs and his CV was extremely useful. So even if it's just for future memoir. I suppose you want to keep track of stuff.
Yeah.
But again, that's where it's useful to have something like a LinkedIn. You just put it on there and it goes through your history and it'll tell you what schools and universities and all the other crap.
It's so easy to lose track of this stuff, Gareth. Because sometimes I think back, I'm like, when did I work at this place? From when to when?
Well, especially because people jump from job to job now far quicker. You know, there was a time two generations ago where people would work for the same company until they were old.
Oh, yes.
And then they would retire.
People have one job.
Right. Then it started becoming like you maybe do two or three jobs in your life.
Yeah.
Now it's like a new job every 8 months.
Oh, yes.
Right? People are. They're jumping wherever the money is.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I don't see why you should be loyal to a business. It's just you must be as devoted to your job as possible in order to produce the best results. Yeah. But you don't need to. I think I might have told you guys about this. I went to an end of year function for a company once. Ooh. Did I tell you about this story? And they had their values or their mission statement or there's something on the wall there. This is the party. This is the end of year party. And these poor people had to read the fucking values, mission statement, whatever it was. And then during the CEO's speech, they all stood up and started reciting this company thing.
No.
Yes, it felt like the Nazis. Ooh. I promise you, I felt like I was in Nuremberg and Goebbels and Hitler were busy like saying Sieg and they would all go, Heil! It was unbelievable. I was so uncomfortable. And after that, I thought, I never want to go and do anything with this company. They did.
Home.
I won't even say what they did.
You're
it's too embarrassing.
In function, all of a sudden, everybody just stands up and starts
telling you,
"I will devote my life and my."
They started reciting the fucking mission statement or whatever it was.
Wow,
that is weird.
And this is a South African company based in Joburg.
Given
some
cult-y.
Weird shit going on.
Given culty,
big time. So there's a limit to everything. You want to like love your job. It's like we were saying earlier, people should. Should want to do a job. You should want to do something in society. You can't just sit on your ass. But if you get to a job and they want you to learn the mission statement by heart, you might want to get the fuck out of there. It sounds like a cult.
Wow.
Yeah. And they had a song and it was bad.
Oh my goodness.
It was bad. I walked off the stage and I was like, I need to get out of here. I feel
I
like
to escape.
It's like a re-education camp, you know, like
reprogramming.
The Maoists in China used to have this.
Yeah,
we're going to. It was brainwashing, but we're going to re-educate you because you're not You're not educated properly.
And some companies do brainwash people.
Yeah,
you get to some companies and you're like, why are y'all letting them treat you like this? They're like, no, we love it. We love our people.
We all love being here. It's our favorite place to be.
There are people who have
You're like, how are you going to let that person, that manager talk to you like that? Yeah,
don't
it's
you
the
think
best.
That's also where you get a little bit nervous when people start saying, oh, work is like my family.
Oh, the moment I hear family and work,
we
are like a family. I'm like, ooh, it's time to get out. It's time to.
That's the world starts
not spinning. The same, right? No.
My heart starts beating.
Yeah. Yeah, Mash, you're right.
It's because it's reason
get
for concern.
The hell out of
it
there.
Means that, look, they're going to treat you some type of way and you're most likely going to be working more than 18 hours a day.
Look, it's great to love your job and all those kind of things, but don't, like, let's not get carried away.
Yeah.
It shouldn't define you. That then I don't think it's very productive.
All right, so what I've heard from you two in the last 20 minutes that we've been talking about, because who knew LinkedIn was still a subject?
Yeah.
If someone spends a lot of time on LinkedIn and they refer to their work colleagues as family, I think that's the sign you maybe have gone too far.
Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Everything else is perfectly okay. Mm. Put the effort in, spend time with your work colleagues, try to be as productive as possible, build the company up, you know, buy into all of that stuff. That's great. But the minute you get to like spending more than an hour a day on LinkedIn.
An hour? Just as.
I don't know what people do. I don't know what you do on LinkedIn.
5 minutes.
My LinkedIn is so boring, you have no idea.
More than 5 minutes on LinkedIn is too much, in my opinion.
Okay, 5 minutes a day. And you run the LinkedIn.
Day. And I run the damn LinkedIn. I go there, I post, and I leave.
But guys, you're like, it can't be a daily thing. Like, LinkedIn gets you to a position where you need to work. At some stage, you need to do the work.
Yeah.
So if you're LinkedIn all the time, you're unemployed.
Right.
Or you're a stalker.
Right.
So you'll have like fits and spurts of when you use a thing. But ultimately, you need to go do a fucking job.
You're looking for a job or you're looking for someone in a job.
Network to get something else to then do a deal or something.
Yes.
But you can't be on it. Like, it's not a social media where, oh, I wonder what's happening here today. It's like, no.
Veronica wants to know, should I create a LinkedIn profile if I want to go and stand at the traffic lights? Probably unnecessary.
Absolutely. A job experience robot. I say edit.
Robot. Okay. Bronwyn says, I'm focusing my energies elsewhere. Anyone here looking for a meticulous executive administrator with exceptional organizational skills in the Joburg area?
James,
you need one?
What's that job again? Executive?
We don't ask you about your job. We're asking you if you're interested in employing Bronwyn.
Funny how James went
James,
there,
are you
though.
Dizzy? What's happening?
James wasn't listening.
Yeah.
He wasn't listening, hey?
Yeah.
You can tell. Everyone in the workforce, this is Chris's suggestion, who is open to a change of professional placement should be on LinkedIn.
Absolutely.
A lot of Chinese companies do this in front of their office in the morning, even the fast food places. They say the mission statement or what?
That makes sense.
Propaganda.
That makes sense.
You know, Walmart actually has a Walmart chant.
No.
So every single morning, as soon as all the employees come in, they all gather in their break room and they all do the Walmart chant. It's like a whole chant. It's like a waka waka, haka haka kind of thing.
I would hate that.
And allegedly, if you don't do the chant, you can be written up. You can get a warning for not doing the chant. How crazy is that?
Oh, I would hate that.
Talk about Coty.
Yeah. My work will never be my family. In my job, I can be replaced. In my family, I know I cannot. Judas, that's spot on.
Absolutely.
All right. And on that note, we're going to wrap it up for this morning. I did want to quickly throw this in just in case you guys think you've heard it all this morning. And we do have our beautiful moment of the week, which James insists we have to do. Otherwise, we sound like we're so negative. Apparently, there's a woman. This is always where it was going to go. A woman who identifies as Milk. She calls herself Milk. She appeared on a show in the UK. Is this in the UK? I think it's in the UK. Claiming that she identifies as a Pomeranian dog and lives part of her life as a dog, complete with collars, tails, toys, and a handler named Star, who walks her and plays games. She's supported by her father, but not her mother. Milk explained the lifestyle began after seeing it on TikTok, describing it as fun, platonic, and harmless, while insisting critics should be less judgmental. Now, I didn't just bring this up because I think it's a stupid and hilarious story. I also didn't bring it up because we had Comic-Con in Joburg last week, where a lot of the furries decided to go out dressed like this as well. I know because a friend of mine was there and she said she saw actual furries. These are people who dress up as animals in like furry costumes and they bark and they sit and they roll over and all of this. These grown adult people, right? And this is how they behave. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think that what you identify as, and to Ben's point from earlier, if you identify with anything that isn't actually physically you, you're going to end up in trouble. I don't know how Milk's life's going to go from here on, but I cannot see it going well. I don't see Milk, you know, starting her own business and becoming tremendously successful. I don't see Milk raising a family. I don't see Milk fixing the trains that aren't running on time. I don't see Milk doing any of that stuff.
Anything productive in
society. No, I think I see Milk just being supported by her dad for the rest of her life until her dad dies, and then she'll go into welfare.
That's the only thing.
That's what Milk's going to do.
Some people, you can just tell their lives are just, there's nothing more to it.
Yeah.
You know, they're just enveloped by something. And she's enveloped by this furry thing.
And it all started on TikTok. Rather go on LinkedIn than TikTok. That's our lesson for the day. If you're going to spend time online and you have to choose, let it not be TikTok. Yes. All right, everybody. We will see you on Friday next week. Have an awesome week. Be good. And if you're not, take photos. It's the weekend, baby. Bye.
Ciao.